Fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy night.
To infinity and beyond!
I just love finding new places to wear diamonds.
I could have been a contender. I could have been somebody.
There's no place like home.
Life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
Well, that sound means it's time to go behind the scenes of a classic movie. And this week we're having a look at The Verdict, a widely acclaimed courtroom drama from 1982, starring Paul Newman and directed by Sidney Lumet.
She's in a coma. Her life is gone. She has no home, no family. She's tied to a machine. She has no friends. And the people who should care for her are doctors. And you and me. Have been bought off to look the other way. We've been paid to look the other way. I came here to take your money. I brought snapshots to show you so I could get your money. I can't do it. I can't take it.
And that's the very nub of the movie, The Verdict. Bill Hughes from Mind the Gap Films has chosen that movie. Bill, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. It's a real cracker. Back in 1982, when it came out, it caused quite a sensation. Years ago, I was doing the film screenwriting course at New York Film School, and this was one of the scripts we had to study. And it's held in such esteem. Directed by Sidney Lumet and written by David Mamet, the great playwright, from Barry Reed's 1980 novel. Starring Paul Newman, Charlotte Rampling, Jack Warden, James Mason, Milo O'Shea and Lindsay Krause. The producers, Richard Zanuck and David Brown, known for big movies, they picked up the original option on the film's source, the Barry Reed novel, and they bought it back then in 1980 for $150,000. They had read it before it was even published. So the whole nub of the thing is that Frank Galvin is an attorney down on his luck, played by Paul Newman. And he was framed for jury tampering years before and fired. And now his friend, Mickey Morrissey, played by Jack Warden, offers him a medical malpractice case that's a shoe-in. That means he's going to get a big fee and that he'll be all sorted. And the case is about a young woman who was given an anesthetic incorrectly during childbirth, and she choked on her own vomit and was deprived of oxygen. And the woman is now comatose and on a ventilator, and her family want justice. And Frank goes to see the girl, and it completely changes his life. As I said, he's an alcoholic down on his luck, but this is a moment of revelation, and he decides that he's not going to be bought off and that he's going to take the case to the court, and he's going to go after the Catholic Church, the Catholic hospital, the doctors. He's going to go after everybody because he believes there's a better deal than the deal he's being offered. For the girl.
Yeah. They're anxious to settle this Catholic-based hospital, anxious to settle, keep a low profile on all of this. Reasonably substantial sum of money, but not as far as this down at on his luck attorney, Frank Galvin, believes. You have another scene you've selected, Bill. What's happening here?
What's happening here is that during the case, when Newman is being very, very strong and realizes that the judge might not be playing ball, they go to judge's chambers to swig it out.
You open your mouth, you're losing my case for me.
Now listen to me, Phil.
No, you listen to me. All I want on this trial was a fair shake, okay? Push me into court 5 days early. I lose my star witness, and I can't get a continuance, and I don't care.
I'm going up there. I'm going to try it. I'm going to let the jury decide. You know, they told me about you. Said you're a hard ass. You're a defendant's judge. No, I don't care. I said to hell with it. To hell with it.
Look, Alvin, many years ago...
Come on. Hey, don't give me that shit about you being a lawyer, too. I know about you. You couldn't hack it as a lawyer. You were a bag man for the boys downtown, and you still are. I know about you.
Are you done?
You're damn right I'm done. I'm going to ask for a mistrial. I'm going to request that you disqualify yourself from sitting on this case. I'm going to take a transcript of the trial to the Judicial Conduct Board and ask that they impeach your ass.
You aren't going to get a mistrial, boy. We're going back there this afternoon and we're going to try this case to the end. Now you get out of here before I call a bailiff and have you thrown in jail.
And that has to be Milo O'Shea.
It is the one and only Milo O'Shea. And you know, there was such a tussle to be cast in this film because the book created a sensation. And Dustin Hoffman, John Voight, Roy Scheider, Cary Grant, Robert Redford and William Holden all went after the part. And even Frank Sinatra offered to play the lead role for nothing. He was desperate to play this role that everybody regarded was so juicy. And Julie Christie turned down the role of the double-dealing Laura Fisher. She didn't feel it was a strong enough role, but Charlotte Rampling makes such a meal of it. And then James Mason, he wanted to play the opposing counsel, and he went after Lumet to give him the part. And luckily, on the night that he phoned Lumet to say, I really want the part of Concannon, Burt Lancaster had just pulled out of the project, and Lumet went, yes, you have the part. And James Mason got an Academy Award nomination for it, for this, for the role. I mean, it's just one of those films that where everybody is chewing up the scenery, but they're making a great point. It's a film well structured. It's beautifully written. The performances all around are just top notch. I think it is Paul Newman's finest performance, but sadly in 1982, they were up against Gandhi and they were up against Tootsie in the Oscar race. So he didn't win, but I think he should have. So, you know, it's just one of those marvelous, marvelous films. But it did get nominated for 5 Oscars. Yeah.
Now, there are all sorts of little controversies about it. First of all, the David Mamet script, which finally was used, had been rejected along the way. There was a scene where Paul Newman had to give Charlotte Rampling a slap. And people wanted that taken out because it would lose whatever sympathy we had for this beaten up, down at heel lawyer would go out the window with that scene.
Yeah, because she had gone behind his back and she was reporting back to the church, to the Catholic hospital. And she was double dealing the whole time, taking his evidence. And then when he discovered that she was stabbing him in the back while sleeping with him in the bed, he then went to meet her at the bar that they always met at. And he just lashes out. And it shocked people because he doesn't just give her a slap. He knocks her to the floor. It's quite shocking. And part of Robert Redford, who was supposed to play the part, he pulled out because he couldn't do that and he couldn't be seen to be playing an alcoholic for his own personal whatever, forgetting that he's an actor. You're supposed to play whatever you're going to play, you know. That's so Newman luckily took the part on and was very brave to take it on and played it the full way. But there were a number of people brought in to do rights and rewrites and rewrites, and different directors brought on board. But when Sidney Lumet came on board and he read the original script, David Mamet, he said, that's the one we're going with. Forget all the other versions. They're just not true to the case.
There's one twist in the plot, I suppose, and that was originally there wasn't going to be a verdict. I mean, we were never going to find out. I mean, how could you have a movie called A Verdict without a verdict?
David Mamet, being the playwright that he is and being the artist that he is, felt that to give a verdict was going to be too conventional. And Zanuck and Brown were doing their nut because they really needed him to write that scene where we got to know. He had it that the jury retired to consider their verdict and then roll credits. And they just said, that's not going to work. Anyway, when Sidney Lumet came on board, he went to Mamet and talked sense to him and said, that is never going to succeed in the cinema. The cinema needs payoff. We need to know what happened. And so he reluctantly.
Okay. Didn't get the Oscars, but did well at the box office.
Oh, yeah, $53 million it took. And in 1982, on effectively a low-budget courtroom drama, there was a lot of star power. But as I said earlier, Frank Sinatra knew there was a low budget and offered to do it for nothing. But everybody wanted to be part of this very, very juicy story because it was very zeitgeisty at the time, taking on medical court cases in America was big news. And to take on a Catholic hospital and to take it on for a young woman who was given the wrong anesthetic, it fed into what the headlines of the day were, and everybody wanted this film to be brilliant, and they willed it to be brilliant, and it is brilliant.
If you haven't seen it, you got to watch it. It's absolutely terrific. If you've seen it before, it rewards a rewatch. And Bill Hughes, a television producer with Mind the Gap Films, thank you very much for joining us.